dad, they just like living without you. You see how I have it no more. I just threw it out the door. You can't tell me shit now. Now it's time for all the
doors. Welcome back to another episode of Swamp Donkey Radio. And it is a different episode today because every episode is different. We got the intro music, which teases our main topic of the video, because if you clicked on it, you know. If you're listening on Spotify and Apple, we appreciate you. Make sure you leave a rating. And if this is your first time on YouTube, make sure you subscribe to the channel. I am your host, Lorenzo, joined by producer Ronnie. Ronnie, how are you, man?
What's up, Zo? Feeling good.
Feeling great? How's your arm? Did it hurt?
Hurts so bad.
It hurts so bad. You heard that. I'm very excited to talk about some baseball, but first we got a bit of a topic that we got to get to. It's taking the baseball world by storm, so different format for today. We got three big topics. We got the opener, we got the reliever, and we got the closer. So we're going to go through each of these big topics in a different way than our nine innings because I had a bachelor party this weekend I had to go to, so I wasn't able to watch as much baseball as I would like. So I just read about it, and I didn't really think that going through nine innings where I didn't get to watch a ton of the games was the right idea because, you know, you guys probably saw them and I fully didn't. So, our first topic, pitcher injuries are taking the baseball world by storm. I've been workshopping the title for this episode. Let me throw a couple for you.
Okay,
ready? We got baseball's UCL problem, which is one. Why your favorite pitcher is hurt, which is the one I have. Or, oops, elbow goes bye-bye. Which, and then a picture of my elbow hanging or something.
There's something there.
There's something there. But I'm workshopping them. Comment below.
Okay.
Now, pitcher injuries are taking the world by storm in an unfortunate way. Pitcher injuries, there were 166 players who opened the 2024 season on the injured list. Guess how many of those were pitchers, Ronnie?
166?
166 players opened the 2024 MLB season on the IL.
Open the season, I'd say 76.
132 of the 166 injured players were pitchers.
What?
In a recent story by The Ringer, and I'll be citing a lot of articles, I'll link them all down below, The Ringer recited research from former MLB trainer Stan Conte that tallied 263 UCL surgeries in 2023. That's a steady uptick from the 111 procedures that happened in 2011. So in 12 years, there's been over 150 more UCL surgeries per season. Now, though they're big numbers and it's easy to look at stats and, you know, data from these people that we don't know, and yeah, those are shocking, but I think what really gets the message across is when we start putting players' names to these UCLs, which is just funny in general. All these UCLs, man, we're throwing them all out. But once you start putting players' names, I think it starts hitting people a little bit different. Shane Bieber. It was a crazy weekend for UCLs. All of them just gone. Shane Bieber out for 2024 and most likely to miss all of 2025. Now, with elbow reconstruction surgery. Now, Shane Bieber's an interesting cat to me because I think he's older than he is. When I think of Shane Bieber, I feel like he's like 34.
Did you just say cat?
I did say cat. But he's only 28.
Yeah, I had him in his 30s.
He's only 28. He's still technically in his prime. Like, this is the time he's supposed to go. He's got a Cy Young in the bag. Even though it's 2020, he was really, really good. And now he's going to miss two full years, and he's already had shoulder injuries. Spencer Strider, I think, is the one that really shook baseball fans by storm, and I think this is what's causing all these articles. Because if you go to your computer right now and you search MLB and then you click the news tab, every article is about injuries, about pitchers. This is the one that really shook the world by storm. Has a damaged UCL and will most likely miss the rest of the season. This was people's favorite for Cy Young. He's 25 years old. He's coming off a season where he struck out every hitter possible.
Yeah.
People projected him to have 300 strikeouts and be the favorite on an Atlanta Braves team that has World Series expectations. Jonathan Loaisiga,
yep,
torn UCL and will miss the rest of the season. He's done. All in the same weekend. I know that one hurts you, Ronnie. We'll get to that in a little bit.
Yeah.
The Miami Marlins announced that prize prospect Yuri Perez needs to have Tommy John surgery. Cousin of Ronnie's, right?
Yeah, distant.
Did you reach out to him?
No.
Damn.
I should, actually.
You should. Be like, hey, it's your cousin. Sorry about your UCL.
Hey, you didn't know this, but I'm your cousin.
Just be like, does your arm hurt? And see what he says.
I'm going to just send him the song.
Yeah, and be like, sorry about your arm, bro.
Doesn't speak English.
I mean, here are some other names that have had arm injuries that will limit them for the rest of the season or that have affected them for the year. Justin Verlander,
yep.
Max Scherzer, Jacob deGrom, Sandy Alcantara. I'm not sure if you
Wait, Sandy's on this list,
I got
too?
Bad news, Ronnie. Sandy's on this list. Oh, Lucas Giolito, Brandon Woodruff are both out for the year. Walker Buehler, Shane McClanahan, Germán Márquez are all recovering from Tommy John surgery. Speaking of people recovering from surgeries, Shohei Ohtani. We forgot about that last year, man. Yeah. He's not pitching this whole year because his UCL said, ouch. Kodai Senga also hurt.
Did you say Gerrit Cole?
I didn't say Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole is also on this list. Those are all face household names in baseball. Aces. So, aces. So we're going to break this up into a couple segments. Let's get into the whys. Why is this happening? Why do people think this is happening?
Okay.
Some say it's the pitch clock. Yep. By some, I mean the MLBPA. Although, in an article, 2021 technically had more UCL injuries than last season did in the first season of the pitch clock. But Tony Clark, MLBPA commissioner, believes this is the problem. Here's a quote from an Athletic article. The league's unwillingness thus far to acknowledge or study the effects of these profound changes is an unprecedented threat to our game and its most valuable asset, the players. So that's come from the MLBPA. The union, this is also from that Athletic article. The union sees the clock as a boogeyman. The commissioner's office sees their complaint as a straw man. For coaches like Matt Blake, pitching coach for the New York Yankees, who must navigate the season as injuries continue, the clock is only part of the problem, along with the perilous. My bad. I'm an idiot. I was an English major. I know how to pronounce perilous. Perilous chase of velocity and spin. I don't think any of them are the most responsible, but the cocktail of them all is pretty hard to get by. Now, what is he talking about most of them? He's talking about you got the pitch clock, which is the MLBPA's argument. It was introduced last year. A lot of injuries have happened since. Then you got people who are looking at it from a perspective of, hey, the average velocity of pitchers and the average spin rate of pitchers continues to climb. So let's look at that. The velocity plus spin, which is something that I believe this is why we are getting so many injuries. Here's another quote from this Athletic article, which I will link down below. It's very good. Please go and read it if you haven't. I've heard through my years managing that we ask less out of starting pitchers, that we don't leave in the game longer, and they don't show 100 pitches anymore, Tigers manager AJ Hinch said. Yet we ask them for max velo, max shape, max everything, and virtually train year-round. Now, I liked this, the first part of this quote a lot because it's really interesting because you think the way baseball is trending. We used to have these guys throwing 130 pitches, 250 innings a year, complete games, and we were like, how did their arms not fall off? How were they able to do that? Now, obviously, less velo is a different game, less spin. It was a different era of baseball. But now we view starting pitchers as having less of an important role in the game. They're only going, most starters sometimes only go 5 innings. Like, that's pretty common. I'm going to talk about some pitchers later who I'm impressed with, and they've gone 5 innings, but they're getting hurt more and more and more. And we're seeing relievers, like, I feel like the average lifespan of a good reliever now is plummeting, dude. Or, like, even if you are a good reliever, it's just a matter of time before you have UCL surgery or Tommy John surgery or something. I mean, I want to talk about it a little later, but Felix Bautista, another guy who's out for the year. And we saw it in the Orioles series this weekend. They needed him, man, to close some games out. And he wasn't there because, dude, he throws really hard and his elbow got hurt. So it's just kind of how things go. Now, here's the other side of the argument. Manager Craig Counsell suggested pitchers will always try to throw harder. I don't think the pursuit of velocity is ever going to end because it's something that makes pitchers better. I don't think we should demonize the pursuit of velocity. So here's Craig Counsell saying, hey, dude, everyone's going to try to throw as hard as they can. They should try to throw as hard as they can. It's a competition. We shouldn't hold that against them. This one is pretty obvious. Pitchers are throwing harder. They're going to get hurt more. I mean, Spencer Strider throws 100 miles per hour basically every single pitch. So him getting hurt isn't technically a surprise, which is also unfortunate that it's not a surprise because he should become one of the faces of pitching in baseball. It's all about velocity plus RPMs. Pitchers are gripping the balls as hard as ever. They're throwing sweepers. They're throwing as hard as ever. And that's bad for UCLs around the country. If you're a UCL, watch out, man. They're coming for you.
They're coming.
The world is coming for the UCLs, doctors. Man. These doctors are waiting for your UCL to go. It's a scary little thought. So let's get into my opinion, because that's just the facts. This is another fact that I actually find really scary for continued as pitchers are younger, having Tommy John surgery. Spencer Strider is 25. Yuri Perez, 20 years old. This is what scares me. The first Tommy John surgery has an 85 to 90% success rate. So if you have Tommy John the first time, most people actually say you come back stronger, that you're actually better after it.
Yeah.
But it drops down to 50 to 55% in repeat surgeries. So these pitchers who were having Tommy John, we're seeing this with Ohtani, this is his second time. the younger you are having Tommy John surgery, I'm getting a little worried. I'm scared. And I think a lot of people around baseball are scared because if you're 20 years old and you're having Tommy John surgery, dude, you have it again at 26, 6 years more of pitching, and then you have it again, your career might be over. Like, it might be done.
DeGrom.
So these second surgeries, man, they're not – when you're seeing these guys have Tommy John so young, it's like a big red flag. It's like, oh, my God, you're 25 and your arm is already that worn out. How are you going to pitch for the next 10 years? How are you going to make it to 35? Like, it's a scary thought to think about how quickly these guys are having surgery. Now, I don't know. There are definitely more qualified people and probably doctors. There's got to be a doctor out there who knows why this is happening.
Let's get him on.
Yeah, let's get a doctor on the show. It could be the pitch clock. I don't know. It could be the pitch clock. It could be the velo. It could be the spin rate. It could be the lack of sticky stuff making people grip the balls harder. Mm. It could be a bunch of stuff. There's a bunch of theories out there. I don't know which one is right. I'm just using my intuition and these articles I've read and basing it off that. I feel like it's probably a combination of all of them, as Matt Blake said. What I do know, it's a real problem and it's super depressing. I hate it. It makes me super sad. There is nothing worse than seeing the quote graphic going around on social media and it's a picture of a pitcher with his head down, mm-hmm. maybe a little sad, mm-hmm. and it says, felt something in his elbow. You see that, you know for a fact, hey, he felt something in his elbow. He's probably going to be out for the rest of the season. And it's not even a surprise. It's just like, okay, next man up mentality. I'm one of the people who really do believe in starting pitchers. I think matchups dictate if I watch a game. And this is coming from my personality. This is my personal state. I mean, we saw it with the trend in college basketball. If you see a matchup, you see a star, you're going to click. And I think there obviously are position players, stars in baseball. Mookie Betts having an insane start to the season. You're going to watch. But they only hit four times a game. The starting pitchers are what they show on. If you're watching on MLB TV, if you go to MLB.com, it's the two pictures of the starting pitchers. Starting pitchers are really, really important for driving casual fans to watch games that aren't their teams. You're going to watch for the starting pitching matchup. And I think we're starting to get better there, man. I think we're getting closer to having these starting pitchers dictate what I watch. Like, if I see Tyler Glasnow pitching, I'm watching. Now, if I'm seeing, I'm struggling to pronounce his name, Imanga with the Cubs, is that how you say it?
Imanga.
I watched both his starts because I was excited to watch him. And then I get to watch all the fun guys on the Cubs. But with these injuries, it makes it harder and harder because you're going to get these guys who might just be as good, but they're just a little less known. There's less staying power on these teams because it's like, oh, I won't see Bieber for 2 years. I won't see Strider for maybe 2 years, dude. It's unfortunate. It's really bad for baseball, and there needs to be something to correct this because I think it's actually a massive problem to have this keep happening. So I'm hoping that there is a solution. I don't know if there is a solution. Maybe it's just the way baseball will be played. Maybe it's just a more of an injury-riddled sport, and maybe people have to try to throw less hard. Maybe there is a pitch clock solution. I'm not sure. I just know it stinks. If your favorite team has someone get hurt, you're going to be depressed about it. And every fan base should be depressed about it and hoping that there is a solution for it. Because, dude, all these guys that I just named, in my opinion, are must-watch TV.
Studs,
aces. And I didn't even name the guys who we don't know about.
Yeah.
There might be guys in the minors who just arms give out at 21, and they could be the next Spencer Strider, but they never get that chance because their UCL say, oops, owie, it hurts so bad. So, not good. That's my take. Ron, do you have anything you want to weigh in on?
It's tough. It's also kind of like I went through it with Gerrit Cole, and that was scary. I wanted to throw up. And he's starting a throwing program now. It's just inflammation. I hope everything's still. He's projected to come back June 1st. I don't know if I fully believe that. But
yeah,
it's pretty cool. And then Loaiza Gutt, that's tough. He's probably not gonna. He probably threw his last pitch as a Yankee.
Dude, it pardon my language. It fucking sucks. It's really bad. Like, not to swear, but it's brutal, dude. I'm tired of it. I don't want to see it anymore. I just want to watch the best players in baseball compete against each other. So, please, whatever it is, let's figure it out. Let's try to stop people from going under the knife and having Tommy John surgery. Tommy John, I'm out on you, man. I don't want to hear your name anymore.
Is he alive?
I don't know.
Let's go to his house.
Yeah, dude, I'm done, bro.
Well, I guess it's not his fault.
No, it's not. It's obviously it's not his fault, but I'm just projecting. But I'm tired of the surgery.
It's the doctors. Let's find the doctors.
Let's find the doctors. Yeah. Let's find out whoever's called. Get the baseballs. Let's teach them a lesson. Yeah. No more sweepers. You guys are all banned.
Yeah.
No more sweepers in baseball.
Find every clock in your house and break it.
Yeah, if you have a clock in your house, go and take it outside and throw a baseball at it. See how it feels to be broken. Yeah. Maybe that'll teach it a lesson from hurting all these guys' UCLs. All right, let's move on to a reliever. These are guys that I have two segments here. I'm impressed with, and then we're going to do a quick buy or sell. These are storylines from the weekend in baseball. Let's start off with some teams that I'm impressed with. The Chicago Cubs, 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers. And I talked about Amaga earlier. He has yet to give up a run in 2024, making his MLB debut this season. 10 innings pitched, 12 strikeouts. And if you want to find something that makes me excited, 12 strikeouts. Guess how many walks, Ronnie?
2.
0. 10 innings. You should have guessed 0. 10 innings. 0 walks, 12 strikeouts against the Dodgers, bro. How about that? That's really impressive. Nice job. I'm happy for the Cubs. I said I wanted the Cubs to make the playoffs. Justin Steele got hurt. He stepped up.
Yeah.
While Steele's out, Amanga's stepping up. He's being the ace they need. So shout out to him. Congrats on early success in Major League Baseball.
Shota.
I love it. Now, this is where the Braves are kind of sickos. They lose Strider, which sucks. I mean, if you're a Braves fan, you have to have a pit in your stomach because World Series are bust, and he's your guy. And then they sweep the Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
And that's a legit team, man. I've been hyping up the Diamondbacks. I believe in the Diamondbacks a little bit. That's a legit team. And they sweep them without Strider. Mm-hmm. And this is where they're sickos. Kalenic is going off right now with over a 1.0 OPS. And my guy, Chris Sale. Now, if you are a Braves fan, this is why it's so fun to be a fan of the Braves, because they are really good at bringing in guys with high potential, especially when Strider's out. Maybe there's a chance that Chris Sale is the guy who steps up a little bit in his absence, takes on a bigger role. 2 starts, both 5.1 innings, both 2 earned runs. And if he's healthy, he's the type of guy who could fill in innings for you. So it's really nice to have rotation depth of Chris Sale as a guy you didn't really expect anything from. And now with Strider out, I mean, Sale was kind of Strider before Strider was around. He was striking out 300 guys a year.
Yeah.
So if he's able to piece it together for a little bit, there's some hope there, Braves fans. I feel bad for you. So I hope Chris Sale is able to put it together. But I'm impressed by the Braves, their fortitude, and more importantly, Chris Sale and their depth. It's just really good. I mean, Ronel Blanco is just so cool.
My guy.
His story is so cool. He is your guy, huh?
He's my guy.
I like that. 14 straight innings without giving up a hit. He recorded 44 outs before he gave up one major league hit. That's crazy.
I was watching.
Last night?
Yeah.
I was watching you. I love the way he pitches.
He's
fast. He's not throwing 99. He tops out at 94. I think he was sitting 92 for the most of the game. Throws a bunch of changeups. Just in the zone constantly.
Yeah,
strike one every time. Mm-hmm. And no one could hit him. It was insanely impressive. I believe Adelise got him for the first hit of the season. Before then, I was like, is he about to go back-to-back no-hitters? When it first happened, I was like, I don't know. I didn't really know who he was. I was like, okay, there's a lot of no-hitters in baseball nowadays. Is this really crazy? Or, you know, is it just something that happened? But then as I started watching it, I was like, no, this guy's kind of fun. He's 30 years old, having success in the show now.
Just had a baby.
Congratulations.
Little girl.
Stone cold. No emotions.
They interviewed him, and he was just straight. Like he was done pitching after yesterday and was locked in.
He's locked in. I like it. So shout out to you. You deserve all the love. Enjoy your time in the spotlight, man. You deserve it. The Miami Marlins. Let's do a buy or sell section, Ronnie.
Sell.
Buy or sell. The Miami Marlins are 1-9. Is their season already over? Now, before you say sell, because you're so quick to sell, man. You're always with your stocks. You're always walking up to me. I'm like, I got diamond hands. You're like, actually, I just sold the deed to my house.
Buy the dip.
Buy the dip, man. Sell the... Oh, I could go for some dip. Like some French onion dip.
Oh, I thought you meant like tobacco.
Oh.
I was talking about lips.
Should we?
For the ips.
I've never done that. I was talking about chips and dip. We've seen teams get off to bad starts before and go crazy, like the 2019 Nationals.
Or the 2021 Braves.
But I don't really believe in this team as much as I want to. I thought they were going to be fun to watch. They're not really fun to watch.
No.
They just got their first win of the season this weekend. Was it against the Cardinals?
It was the Cardinals. It was like 10-3 final.
And there was like a rain delay, so they couldn't get their win. But I'm going to sell the Miami Marlins. It's not even that I think maybe they'll finish with a horrible record. I don't really know. But I'm just not interested in following them, and I'm not really interested in talking about them until they kind of make it interesting. So I'm going to sell them right now. 1-9, that's brutal, dude. That's a bad start.
Yeah.
The Yankees.
Bye.
And the Red Sox.
Tell.
As of today, are the top 2 teams in the AL East. The Yankees are 8-2. The Red Sox are 7-3. 10 games into 162-game season. So we got a small sample size. Will these be the top 2 teams in the AL East at the end of the year? I'm going to sell that.
I will also sell on that.
I'm going to sell it. I think one of them will be. I'm not going to say who. I think one of these teams will be top 2 in the AL East at the end of the year.
I agree.
But I don't think both of them will. Now, this is a good segue for me to talk a little bit about my Red Sox.
Look at your Red Sox go.
Look at my Red Sox go. They finished their West Coast trip 7-3. I loved it. Now, let's talk about pitchers and getting length and not getting hurt. 8 of their 10 games, they've had a starting pitcher go at least 5 innings. Now, that might not be impressive, but they were literally 26 in the league last year and having guys go 5 innings. That was a big focal point for this team. Their pitching has been awesome. Tanner Houck, 12 innings pitched, 0 runs given up, 2024. Very impressive. Everyone goes at least 5 innings. They get a lot of strikeouts, a lot of balls in play, and that's where it makes me a little sad that Trevor Story got hurt once more. He is unfortunately becoming Chris Sale, but position player for the Red Sox. Feels like he worked so hard to be healthy for the season. He got a full offseason. He makes a diving play at his ball, at a ball by him, hurts his shoulder. Super sad, unfortunate. He works really hard, and I'm rooting for him, man. I get so bummed because I always expect him to be able to break through, and I know he's a good baseball player. It's just every time he gets a shot and gets any sort of rhythm, he gets hurt. Now, the value he provides on defense should not be overlooked. He's a veteran guy at shortstop. The Red Sox have had bad shortstop defense in his time when he's not out there, and we saw it as soon as he went out. Like, there's a hole in leadership on the defensive side of the, on the left side of the infield when he's not out. Devers is not a good defender. Story is a good defender. He made some great plays to start the season. And I'm sad, man. I just want him to be well. I'm tired of injuries. Get the injuries out of baseball. Let me have fun. All weekend, I feel like every time I looked at my phone, someone was hurt. It was just stupid. Made me sad. And the good news, Tyler O'Neill, 5 home runs, ties Mookie for MLB lead and has a 1.4 OPS. He's doing that thing where the Red Sox sign one really ripped outfielder once a year. They put him in right field. He has an insane start to the season. Hunter Renfro, Adam Duvall, Tyler O'Neill. Hopefully he stays healthy.
All the same guy.
All the same guy. They all look the same. They all have the same profile. 30 homers, 100 RBIs, good defense. Hopefully he stays healthy and he's able to get for the full year because he's off to a great start, along with Mookie Betts, who, you know, used to be a Red Sox. I'm starting to believe in this team. I believe in the formula. Now, what does believe mean?
Yeah, what does believe mean?
One hot month. Where okay. They're able to have a good, if they put together a good April, I believe in a 500 baseball team. And that's enough to get me interested and give me meaningful games in September and August, which is all I ask for, is make it interesting so the whole year I have baseball to watch. Because while some teams like the Braves and, you know, the Orioles and the Yankees, they got these Dodgers, they got World Series or bust expectations, for me, I just want to enjoy a baseball season. I think a lot of fan bases are out there, man. We don't need a World Series win this year. We just want to be able to watch our team and have on. So I'm a man of the people in that way. I agree with you. Now I'll give you one sentence on the Yankees. The Yankees are really good, and their lineup depth is very impressive. That's all I will say.
Volpe's fun.
I predicted it, man. Give me my love. Volpe's good. Stanton looks good. Soto is Soto. They play good baseball. That's all I can say.
They're fun this year.
They're fun. And that's all you can ask for. That's just give me fun.
They haven't been in recent.
So I'm buying that or selling that, but one of them will be. The Pirates are for real. Let's talk some Pirates propaganda. Oh, they took 2 out of 3 in Baltimore, Ronnie, against Baltimore in Pittsburgh. Respect that. That's a good baseball team they just beat. And the NL Central is going to be a good division. I am buying this. The NL Central will be good this year. I think the NL East is clearly the worst division. You got the Marlins, the Nationals, and the Mets. And I don't think any of those teams are going to be above 500. And then it's Braves, Phillies.
Right.
So Braves and Phillies are going to be good. And I think the Mets, Marlins, and Nationals. I think one of the Nationals and Marlins is going to be really, really bad. And then I think the Mets and the other team aren't going to be very good.
What about the AL Central?
I'm talking about NL.
Oh, my bad.
That's the worst division that I have in the NL.
Okay.
AL Central might be good. I don't know. Probably not.
That's the thing. You don't know.
Yeah, you don't know. But I'm kind of out on the NL East. I like the NL Central, man. I believe in the Pirates. They're 8-2. They're off to a fun start. That was a good couple wins. For the Orioles, they're 5-4. They rank 29th in on-base percentage in Major League Baseball. Jordan Westberg and Gunnar Henderson are combined 13-65 to start the season. Now, nothing to be worried about. It's just a slow start to the year. They're young guys. It's kind of expected. But I was looking. Jackson Holliday down in AAA Norfolk. It's a 490 on-base percentage right now. Might need that a little bit.
It's good.
So maybe call him up sooner or later. But Orioles off to a slow start. Pirates, good weekend for them. They won an extra innings on an O'Neill Cruz single. And then, unfortunately, a Gunnar Henderson error.
Sold so hard.
It's a bad, not the best play, Gunnar. I've been hyping you up.
Yes, you have.
I've been really into you. And then you did that. And I immediately knew Ronnie was probably smirking somewhere. Like,
I smirked.
You smirked. I know for sure you smirked. So it's all right, Gunnar. I forgive you. You'll be okay. But I will say, Baltimore's up 2-1. Entering the bottom of the ninth against Pittsburgh, they loaded the bases. If they had Felix Bautista there.
They had Cano.
They had Cano, but Bautista was so good for them last year. He closed out every single game. He barely made any mistakes, and they don't have him. And that low-key is kind of big. And
where was Kimbrel?
Where was Kimbrel? Good question. Starting to rear its head a little bit. So if you're an Orioles fan, let me know how you're feeling about the team. I'm interested. I mean, those are the major topics I wanted to talk about. Was there anything from the weekend that stood out to you, Ronnie?
No, I did watch a lot of baseball.
I watched a lot of baseball. It was fun. I watch a lot of highlights of baseball.
Mm.
I watch a lot of like those 10-minute game recaps on YouTube, which are never as fun as you would hope they would be.
Right.
Because you're always just getting like four ads between 10 minutes of watching a highlight of baseball.
Yeah.
But it was pretty fun. All right, let's go around the antlers, answer some questions. What has been your biggest takeaway so far this season? I'll go first. Mine is that good stats mean a lot to me. Bad stats mean nothing to me. It's a long season, so I don't really have any big takeaways on teams or anything. But if a player gets off to a hot start, like Tyler O'Neill or Mookie Betts or someone like that, or Amanga with the Cubs, that means a lot to me. But like when Yamamoto had his first bad start, that means nothing to me. I kind of like, I value good starts to the season, but I don't really value a slow start to the season if you're a good player, because I'm like, oh, they'll just bounce. They'll figure it out. It's long. And a good month of baseball can really just hype you up. So I like the positive sides of it. So if you have a good month, I'm just going to be like, oh, they're going to have a great year. If you have a bad month, I'm like, they're going to figure it out. Maybe that's just me being optimistic. What about you? Anything stand out to you, Ronnie?
A lot of offense.
A lot of offense.
Which I like.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of offense, a lot of stolen bases continuing from last year I like. And then, you know, a lot of injuries. It's kind of been the story of the season. Offense and injuries. And like some unexpected fun guys, which I'm appreciating. Why did Swamp Donkey Radio go on its own channel? That's a good question. If you are here, subscribe. Welcome to the new channel. We're doing different videos on We Got Ice 2 every single week. It'll be a fun little game between me and Jack, and having a podcast and a YouTube series on the same channel. Bad for the algorithm. A bunch of boring stuff that you guys actually probably don't care about. So move to its own channel. We can do more fun stuff here and post more often. Is Angel Hernandez good for baseball? No.
No.
Now, all controversy is good controversy is a saying that a lot of people believe in. All news is news. Like, it drives people to your product. I think Angel Hernandez is so tired and so boring at this point. I mean, you're going to get your Twitter likes in. You're going to get your YouTube views in. If I titled this Why Angel Hernandez is the Worst Thing in Baseball, it would get a lot of views, man.
People
would
do that.
People would click on it. And I like my clicks. I do. But I don't know. I feel like he's aware of it now. Everyone's aware of it. It's kind of just like, this guy's still in the league. He's still umping. You know, there'll be a couple reels where people like dress up as a blind man and they're like, I'm Angel Hernandez. But, you know, it's just, I think it's stupid. Just have good umpires. I don't want to talk about the umpires. It's not fun. Unless I'm umping. And then it's fun. And respect me. Because I would never make a bad call.
It was pretty bad against the Yankees.
It was horrible. Yeah. I mean, just missed call after the balk call into the strike call. It's like 2-1. It was just bad. I mean, that's all the baseball I have. I think we're running a little short this episode, Ronnie. What time are we at?
We're at 29.
All right, let me give you 2 minutes on college hoops. Just quick 2 minutes.
Let's do it.
Did you watch this weekend?
The
women's college basketball bracket is, I'm going to tie this into baseball, is the power of a star. Because I was so invested in every women's college hoops game, this bracket.
Me too.
I watched so many of them. I was watching the Iowa UConn game.
Yep.
I started out rooting for Iowa. By the end of the game, I was rooting for UConn. Then Iowa won, and I was happy for Caitlin Clark. I was like, oh, that's sick. She took the world by storm, obviously. I am the consumer who got sucked up in this. You know how they say, like, women's college basketball had the most views of all time. I was one of those new people who got locked into
it.
Me
too.
And I want baseball to have this same effect. It's like when Ohtani went crazy in the World Baseball Classic, we saw this. It's the power of a star and how important it is to have a face of your sport and be able to market them. And that's why I'm so upset about these injuries, man, because there's less people to market because you got to kind of restart the cycle. It's like Strider's been going for, what, 2 years now? in baseball, and now he's like become like a household name, and now we're going to forget about him for 2 years, and you're not able to market him. But watching college hoops, such a fun product, especially the last game with South Carolina, Iowa. I was rooting for Iowa. I wanted Iowa to win.
Me too.
I thought it would have been a cool story. South Carolina is kind of just a better team. But in the weekend of college hoops, it was like all these people that I Googled, like, when the WNBA draft was. I was like, when is this happening?
Next week.
Like all these people who have become, whether it's Paige Beckers or Caitlin Clark or any Angel Reese, any of these people, it's like I know who they are now from just casually watching their product. Now, am I going to watch every women's basketball game next season? Probably not. But when I see social media clips of them, I know who they are, and I'm invested in them. So it was really cool. I enjoyed watching college hoops this weekend. Obviously, it was a bad call in UConn, Iowa, which I feel like a lot of UConn fans are going to be.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a bad call, but I feel like that was noteworthy.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was close, but I feel like in the moment you don't call that, but blah, blah, blah.
That's my 2 minutes on college basketball. I had a lot of fun watching it. So it's a bit of a shorter episode this week. That's what I got for you guys today. Make sure you comment next time to be featured in Around the Antlers, and we'll see you next time. My arm doesn't hurt. Bye.